We follow the liturgy on page 15 in the front of your hymnal. Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Loving the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. All may kneel to confess. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Sing to the Lord.
Teach us rightly to pray, and with all your saints to offer you our adoration and praise. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The readings for this sixth Sunday of Easter are found in your bulletin insert. The first reading is from Acts, the 11th chapter, reading from the 19th verse. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, each according to his ability, decided to provide help for the brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gift to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Here ends the first reading. The epistle reading is found in 1 John, the 4th chapter, reading from the first verse. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. And whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Here ends the epistle lesson.
No.
Holy Gospel is found in the Evangelist of St. John, the 15th chapter, reading from the 9th verse. Jesus says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other." Here ends the gospel.
We now confess our faith using the Apostles' Creed on page 12 in the front of your hymnal.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from heaven. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the great and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the whole earth is the earth, the communion of sin, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
The text is the gospel reading, St. John 15, 9 to 17. A Many Splendored Thing is the title of a 1952 book, was made into a 1955 movie titled Love is a Many Splendored Thing. You probably know the recording by that name, which was covered from 1955 to at least 2012. But neither book, movie, nor song say anything that John didn't say first. He's the apostle of love. He uses the verb agapo 51 of the 142 times it's used in the New Testament, and he uses the noun agape 25 of the 117 times. Yet, when I come to a text like ours, I don't hear love, love, love as the Beatles sing. I hear law, law, law. But that's all me. Of the 28 verbs in this text, only one is an imperative. Only one is a command. You must remain in my love. His love is many splendored. Jesus says, as the Father has loved me, that's how I have loved you. At his baptism and transfiguration, the Father bellowed from heaven, "This is my beloved Son." Jesus loved me like that. In a New Orleans cemetery, there's a monument showing mother and child clinging to a shipwreck in a storm. It's inscribed July 4th, 1900. They were the sole survivors of a large estate. It mattered which of them died first and which died last. The court concluded it had to be the child because the mother would have kept her safe till she herself died. As Shenandoah sang in a 1993 song, "I want to be loved like that." Jesus says, "You are." Maybe not by a single human being, even your mother, but by God in the flesh. It doesn't take much to know, yes, Jesus loves me. But to remain in that love, well, that's far harder. No sooner does the Father bellow his love from heaven at the Jordan, then Satan shows up saying, "Are you really God's son? Then why are you so hungry? Why didn't you test his love? Why didn't you throw yourself off the temple and see if his angels will catch you as promised? And if you are his beloved son, why is he sending you the way of suffering and death to gain the kingdom of the world? Worship me, and I can give you them all right now." Don't tell me you don't know the struggle of remaining in his love. We are ever tempted by our three great enemies, devil, world, and flesh, to not believe Jesus really does love us, and so give in to despair, which leads to other great shame and vice. And the unholy three, they have plenty of evidence to make their case that you are unloved. We have health problems, marriage problems, family problems, work problems. The world is going to hell in the proverbial handbasket. And what's the Lord doing? The Lord said the land of Canaan vomited out its people in his judgment over the very things our land is guilty of: child sacrifice, sexual immorality, and idolatry. Yes, yet America goes on sinning with impunity. Can't you relate to the weeping prophet Jeremiah? He says, "Listen to the cry of my people from a land far away. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is their king no longer there? The harvest is past, the summer has ended, and we are not saved. Since my people are crushed, I am crushed. I mourn and horror grips me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is there no healing for the wound of my people?" God's love doesn't seem that splendid, let alone many splendored. In a sermon, Luther has Jesus addressing the struggle to remain in his love in the face of suffering, hardship, and heartbreak. Maybe even in the face of political upheaval and, say, a worldwide pandemic. Jesus says, "Let my love be stronger, greater, mightier than the suffering that you feel. For I know that the devil will harass you severely for my sake, to sadden and weary you, to make you impatient, to induce you to defect, and to make you say, 'I wish I had never had anything to do with this.' That is the sentiment of many right now, says Luther. And then Luther has Jesus answering that sentiment. That is not the right attitude. Do not let the devil, the world, or your own flesh overcome you. But think of how I have loved you and still love you. Call to mind what I have spent on you to make you righteous and to save you, to make you acceptable to the Father, and to make you his priest and servant and my disciple. Getting a whiff now of the many splendidness of his love. This is clean sheet forgiveness. This is dried in the fresh air blessedness. This is a love that transcends time and space and sin and sinfulness. But then the window to eternal love is shut by, once again, the word commandments. No doubt about it, Jesus says, we remain in his love by obeying his commandments. What commandments did Jesus specifically leave his disciples? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing and teaching. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. Do this often to bring me back to you. Hear Luther preach it. Therefore, Jesus wants to say, I'm not imposing a heavy burden and load on you, many sacrifices and manifold services of God, or anything that entails great expense or labor. I've imposed the gospel, baptism, and the sacrament on you. And this is no commandment. It is your treasure, which I have given you gratis. We come to be called friends of God by being recipients of his benefits, not by doing things for God. The commandments of Jesus that you literally observe cause you to remain in his love, because there's nothing but his love in baptism, absolution, and communion. You know that old illustration of Jesus at the cross? I asked Jesus how much he loved me, and he stretched out his arms to be nailed to the cross of hell, wrath, and death, and said, this much. That's good, but carry it through. Carry it through to the artwork on the Lenten devotions, where from the crucified Jesus, blood fills the communion chalice. Carry it through to the 16th century painting, where Jesus' blood shoots out his spear-pierced side and onto the very head of the painter. Carry it through where the water that flowed from his wounded side fills up the baptismal font. In these three is God's love for you in Christ today. The holy Jesus, bearing your sins, the sins of the world, was sacrificed to pay for them all. And having done so, he was risen from the dead. So his blood is not coagulated, let alone putrid, but it smells like sweet wine. And in baptismal waters, they're not stagnant, but living. In absolution, well, that's not the word of a dead man, but a living Lord. You remain in the love of Jesus not when you wade through the slough of your sins and sinfulness looking for love there, but when you dive into the living, forgiving, loving waters of baptism to be washed with more love than any mom ever washed her baby. You remain in Jesus' love when, rather than going by what others, the devil, or even you think about the forgiveness of your sins, you go by that word of absolution. If his word sends your sins away, no power on earth, no power under the earth, no power even in heaven itself can bring them back to you. You remain in Jesus' love for you when you eat his body and drink his blood. The newly married couple feeding each other cake is not meant as a point of humor to smear each other with frosting. No, it's an ancient symbol of their bodily care for one another. Well, only Jesus in this marriage gives his body for bread and his blood for wine. That's how he expresses his love for us. We express our love for him by receiving it. More about that later. Tell me, love like this, how can it not be a many splendid thing, a splendid thing? Who wouldn't want to remain in a love like this? He loves us in word and sacrament. We know that love by using them, trusting them. And to some extent, that is how we love him. But Jesus really doesn't need our love. Our neighbor does. And so the last verse is, this is my command, love each other. Here we go again. It's relatively easy to love the God you can't see. Your neighbor, your ugly, grouchy, stinking neighbor, well, that's another story. That's why John says the test for loving God, the God you can't see, is not whether you say you do, but whether you love the neighbor you do see. There's a big gulp there. Lack of love, if persisted in, leads to a denial of what Christ did for us. Jesus says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Notice where it all starts, with his love for you, with him calling you not servants, who are always under the law, by the way, but friends, who he has told everything. Got that? Everything. He's told you the whole story of your sin and sinfulness. The whole truth of what God thinks about you is not in your thoughts. It's not in the hidden will of God that allows so much suffering and damns so many, that what God knows about you is only found in what God in Christ tells you in word and sacrament. Moreover, whatever you ask the Father in Jesus' name, Jesus promises. He promises his Father will give it. Run with that promise. Now, this is not carte blanche, that whatever you want, whatever your heart, which Paul says, by the way, doesn't know what it ought to pray for. It is not carte blanche that whatever your heart asks for, it's going to get. But whatever is consistent with Jesus' name, it's going to get. The thorn in Paul's flesh, his being poured out as a drink offering, his being abandoned by all at trial, his being able to do nothing with Alexander the coppersmith, all were consistent with Jesus' name. So whatever way God answers your prayer, it's consistent with your being in Jesus' name. Loving one's neighbor starts with knowing God's many splendid love for you in Christ. Hear this true story. 35 years ago in LA, a couple were seen arguing. The woman sat on a bridge railing when the man attempted to kiss her. She dodged the kiss and she fell 50 feet to her death. That's the path of Judas. He wouldn't believe that though repentant of betraying Jesus, his Lord could forgive him. He went from unbelief to despair and then to the great shame of suicide. He didn't think God's love could extend to where he was. No one can love their neighbor without first knowing that God's love in Christ not just extends to them, but floods their life. The rest of the story I just told you is, now I'm quoting from it, when the man tried to keep her from falling, he also fell to his death. That's Jesus. He loves us to death, his death. That's how splendid his love for us is. Book, movie, song are all about love between people. But Christians know from Paul that even the dizzying heights and depths of human love in marriage is only seen in a mere dimly the reality of Christ's love for his bride, the church. That's many splendored, and that love is yours. Amen. Now the peace of God that passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. The people we remember in our special prayers are listed there in your bulletin. Particularly, we remember Jean Castellum, that's a friend of Cheryl and Avren, who's in critical condition from a car wreck. And we remember our mothers in motherhood. And we remember Kristen Mackamer, that's our organist. She was diagnosed with COVID. She's at home. She still has a persistent fever, and that's her most pronounced symptom. Two of her kids had it, a fever for a day, and they're all over it, and none of the rest of the family is ill. Nonetheless, we remember her in our prayers.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, grant health and prosperity to all that are in authority, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislator of Texas, and to all of our judges and local authorities. Bestow on them great rule after thy good pleasure, maintaining justice and hindering and punishing lawbreakers, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. Lord, in thy mercy, and I love in Christ as I love him. In Christ is new each morning, may we walk in it throughout the day and commend ourselves to it each night. Lord, in thy mercy. And as thy mercies are new every morning because of what Jesus suffered in the dark night of our sin for us and our salvation, so we are bold to ask for thy blessing upon James and Kristen's treatment and recovery. May these be to thy glory and their temporal and eternal well-being. Lord, in thy mercy. As thou did not take from fallen mankind the gift of mothers or motherhood, make us continually thankful and supportive of mothers and motherhood, praising thy name by remembering these gifts in our past and gladly receiving these gifts today and always. Lord, in thy mercy. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
I direct your attention to the communion statement in bulletin. We welcome all of you to our celebration of Holy Communion this morning. Because of the sad divisions that exist in Christianity today, we can't invite all of you to the Lord's table. Trinity practices closed communion, which means the communion active members of Trinity and those guests have been invited to commune prior to the service. If you are a guest and not spoken with me before, please do not come forward and receive communion. We continue now to the communion liturgy on page 24. Please stand. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift up our
Let's give thanks to the Lord our God.
We lift up our soul.
times and all places give thanks to thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, to Jesus Christ our Lord, the chief Mary, bound to praise thee for the glorious resurrection of thy Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. For he is the very Passover Lamb which was offered for us and takes away the sins of the world, who by his death has destroyed death, by his rising to life again has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, grace of Lord Jesus Christ be with you and also with you. Take eat the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has death for all your sins. Take eat the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has death for all your sins. Take eat the true body of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who has death for all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink. This is the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink, the true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. The blood of Christ, shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen.
Grace, Lord Jesus Christ, be with you and also with you. Take eat of the true body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take eat of the true body of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take eat of the true body of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take drink, this is the true blood your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink this the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink this the true blood of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink the blood of Christ shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and the life everlasting. Depart in peace. remission of all your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen and preserve you in the true faith and life everlasting. We guard in peace.
Amen.
Take eat the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take eat the true body, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. The body of Christ given for you. Take drink this true blood, the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take drink the true blood of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. The blood of Christ, shed for your sins. May this body and this blood strengthen you. In the true faith, life everlasting, in heart, in peace.
Amen.
thanks to the Lord, for He is good. O God the Father, Father, source of all goodness and loving kindness, and send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. We beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, rule without end. The Lord be with you.
Bless we the Lord.
Lord, bless and keep thee. Lord, make his face shine upon thee and grace upon thee. Lord, lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
seated.
The Mother's Day carnations, you can get them from the reading table. They'll be bought out there. And if we have leftover ones, and you didn't order any, you can always buy some. You don't have to have the money right then either. Just tell us if we have them, you can purchase that excess. The Pentecost party, Sunday, May 23rd. Please sign up for that. And we're looking for a volunteer to put on the garage sale. We got all the items, and boy, do we have the items. And we kept getting postponed, and it's a lot. It's detailed the steps that have to take place. And so if you're going to do it, it would have to be done before Vacation Bible School or after. And I would suggest you're probably going to have to wait till after until it gets cool. But we're looking for that to happen. So if you're interested, see me. Thank you.